The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he might find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to you all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. So it's fascinating. We all seem to have a sense of that phrase. Now, I have actually never seen a full episode of the iconic soap opera, Days of Our Lives, but it is iconic in our culture, specifically that phrase. And I think because it actually speaks to something that's very deep in our understanding of who we are, at least as Westerners, that we don't always realize, because it is an example of what is called linear time. Linear time is one of the foundations of Western society, and it works that there's a beginning point, a full hourglass, and goes to an end point, an empty hourglass. But in reality, it's more like a line where we begin somewhere, and life in its fullness is about getting to a pinnacle point, and it's a linear path. Again, it's like a fish is in water. It doesn't realize it's in water. You and I don't really realize that we exist in a world that is based in linear time. Probably the best example of an invention based on this is the assembly line, where something is started at one point and it chinks through different phases, and a final product appears. Our educational system is based on this. You enter a grade, and you are formed until you're this complete product ready to enter the career world. And then many times our careers are sort of the same trajectory. You start out at a beginning job, and you get promoted, and hopefully stay with a company or transfer to another company, ultimately until at one point in life you reach a pinnacle point where you have succeeded. So in our understanding of linear time, it's about success, getting to a point where we have won, if you will. And the thing about it also in our Western society is that if we aren't going somewhere, we're going nowhere. If we're not in control, we've lost control. And the goal is ultimately our well-being and success. But here's the thing. This is simply our construct of time. For there have been cultures alive today and throughout history that have actually viewed time as cyclical, as a circle. Many Eastern societies today experience time as a rhythm of a circle. The ancient Greeks, actually, this was their ethos, as well as our Native American populations. They experienced time not in a linear trajectory, but as a circle. And if you think about it, it's not a machine that really represents this, but it's the very fabric of nature. You know, the seasons that we go through, or at least those of us in Southern California that we see on television in other parts of the country, we go through a cycle. Winter, spring, summer, fall, winter. And this cycle is actually dependent upon an even bigger cycle, the rotation of the earth, the rotation of the earth around the sun around the galaxy around the universe. In fact, the entire cosmos is one of a circle, of a journey of return. And at the other end of the spectrum are subatomic particles. They as well are a circle. The nucleus of the atom, the electron spinning around, particles themselves in constant motion, encircling each other. So in cyclical time, we realize that we are a part of a movement that isn't just about us. And that movement involves a return, a repeat, a coming home. Why am I telling you all this? Because today is the first day of our return, of our calendar year for the church that is cyclical. In this modern world of ours that is intent on getting somewhere and achieving something, we have this resistance, if you will, in the church community that says we return again and again to the life of Jesus in our church calendar and our church seasons. So we return to the familiar in the hopes of discovering something new. So each year we return and explore Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, the birth of the church, and of course, today, Advent, begins our new cycle of preparing and exploring Jesus' birth, of God dwelling among us. So Advent is a time for us to open ourselves to the mystery and the miracle that is the birth of Jesus. And we are reminded again and again, each and every time, that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. We are intimately caught up in God's rhythm and return. But there's a beautiful tension in you and I, as God's unique creatures of human beings. For the tension that we experience is actually between time, both linear and cyclical, is actually at the core of who we are. I mean in our DNA. For if you think about it, the double helix that binds our sense of self or our physical identities is that combination of linear line and circle. So at the core of who we are is this tension between a linear path and a cyclical return. And here's where Scripture comes into play. For while the church calendar returns us again and again to those touchstones of formation, Christian Scripture points us to a point in time that is the pinnacle of time, but not about our individual success, but God's overarching success. And so today we heard the cry of Isaiah, the people's cry to God to come down and intervene, to cleanse like a fire and create anew. And what's fascinating about Isaiah is that it looked to Jesus, but it also looks again to Jesus' return. So in the scripture itself, there is a cyclical understanding, but also a pointing to a pinnacle time and space. And in Jesus' words in the Gospel of Mark, we are assured that the day of glory will come, but that not even Jesus knows when. And so we are encouraged to live lives awake in preparation and in anticipation of his return. And we remain awake by living in the rhythms of the church, by returning to and re-engaging with these precious and powerful moments of Jesus' life. This is our rhythm and our opportunity. The church seasons are the invitation to explore anew what we already deeply know. And Advent is the invitation again to prepare for Christ's birth, to keep awake, to discover him in the manger, as well as to focus ourselves toward his and our undeniable return home. Amen.